Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are here because we are needy people. We are here because we need you. We need your grace and mercy because we are sin-stained and prone to wander. We need your direction because we don't know where to go. We need your deliverance because the enemy is swarming. Lord, we need your word to guide us. And Lord, there are times when we're so hard-hearted and stiff-necked, we're not able to respond even to you. So would you be gracious to us this morning? Would you enable us not just to see you, but also then respond appropriately to you? Would you open our ears to hear and empower our spirits to respond? We pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, again, good morning to each of you. We're glad that you are here. This summer, I'm trying to do a little bit different style of preaching. Usually I take a big text of Scripture and pull out all the different nuggets out of that. This summer, a little bit more picking one gem, one truth, and looking at it from various perspectives to see its different facets, its different faces. And we're on this theme of worship, but we're drawing a distinction. In the Scriptures, we're told to be people who are giving thanks to God, and when we do that, we're really acknowledging His goodness, His kindness to us. We're also called to be people who praise God. When we do that, we're acknowledging His greatness, His attributes, His characteristics, His strengths. And thirdly, we're called to be people who worship. Now, usually we kind of lump all those together, and when we talk about worship, we kind of include the other things as well, but there is a distinction, and today I want to make that distinction. What is worship? What is it to pour out worship to God? One definition would be that it is to acknowledge God's holiness. To acknowledge God's holiness. And as you look at every word in the Old Testament and every word in the New Testament that gets translated into worship, all of them are posture words. When we give thanks or when we give praise, those are utterance words. Those are words that tell us to say something, to speak something, even shout something. And it is okay, by the way, to shout praise in Lutheran churches, just so you know. It's okay if you say, "Great is the Lord!" Amen. We can do that. That's praising God. Worship. What is worship? It's interesting that we call our services worship services, but I wonder if it ever happens that the thing called a worship service never includes worship. What if it only includes someone proclaiming and us praising, but we never get to worship? I was confronted with that thought this week as I heard another preacher mention that, and I've been asking myself, am I worshiping? Am I worshiping? Are you worshiping? They're posture words throughout the Bible as it comes to this concept of worship. And just a few brief statements on a whole bunch of verses here. We won't take time to look all these up, but then we will look more in detail at a few other verses together in the Word. But there's the bowing of the head. There's the lifting of the hands or the extending of the hands. There's the kneeling, and then my favorite and maybe the most important, there's the falling on our faces before God. In Exodus, Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that the Lord had seen their afflictions, they bowed their heads. They worshiped. Or extended hands from Psalm 63. It says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek your face. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry land and weary land where there is no water. So have I looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift my hands." In our culture, if we lift our hands, it's like there's a policeman in front of us and we're saying, "Okay, I give up." But isn't that what God calls us to do? Isn't God saying, stop your running. Stop your doing your own thing. Going your own way. Doing those things that I'm against. Stop. And we say, God, I surrender. I let you arrest me. I let you take me captive. I let you tell me what to do. I lift my hands to you. I worship you. I stretch out my hands to you. God wants to be in complete control of us. And these worship words, they're body words. So we're saying, God, be in complete control of my body. But we know that it's possible to do body things without it involving the Spirit. And so we're going to see when we come to the words of Jesus in our gospel reading that worship is a body word, a body response, a body action connected to a Spirit prompting, a Spirit response to God. We worship body, soul, and spirit. John Bunyan encourages us to be people who bow down before God, who lay out our lives before God. John Bunyan, in the famous Pilgrim's Progress book, he wrote that, he that is down needs fear no fall. He that is low, no pride. He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide. We're encouraged to be people who fall before God. Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, it's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 8, it says that he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the assembly, spread out his hands towards heaven, and as he was there, he knelt with his hands outstretched towards heaven. Even the Apostle Paul, as we turn to our New Testament, Ephesians chapter 3, he writes in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he might grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He bowed on his knees. In the church I grew up in, it was a large suburban church, White Bear Lake, Minnesota. Brand new sanctuary, beautiful pews, but every pew had a kneeler. Did you experience kneelers growing up? I often ask my mom and dad, how come those things are down there? We never use them. How about you? How about me? Have you knelt before the Lord recently? I was laying in my bed last night thinking about this message and thinking about this particular point, and I realized I haven't knelt before the Lord in a long time. So I don't know if Lisa felt me stirring or not, but I got out of bed and I knelt beside the bed just trying to put my body in a posture of worship so my spirit could respond appropriately. Let me encourage you. Bow your head. Stretch out your hands. Bow before him on your knees. But if you're willing and you want to be biblical, try even this next one. Till I prostrate before the Lord. 131 times in your Bible, it talks about laying face down before God. 131 times. It's the most, I believe, the most common response. Not just bowing, not just extending your hands, not even just getting on your knees, but on your face before God. When you do that, you're surrendering. When you do that, you're saying, God, you're the most important one. When you do that, you're saying, I'm nothing. You are everything. I'm completely surrendered to you. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to even crawl off my knees. I'm going to be flat out before you. You are worthy of my worship. Abraham in Genesis 17 fell on his face as God talked to him. The people of Israel in Exodus fell on their faces, bowed down, Exodus 4:31, prostrated themselves before God. Leviticus 9, fire came from the Lord and consumed the burnt offerings as they started their sacrificial system of worship there in the desert as the tabernacle was completed. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Joshua, as he's beginning his ministry, the Lord encounters him and calls him to be the new leader. And it says in Joshua 6:14, Joshua fell on his face to the earth and prostrated himself before the Lord. And it said, what does my Lord say to his servant? That's worship. Falling on her face and saying, what do you have to say to me, God? So I was thinking, you know, what would this look like if we acted this out right now? Anybody want to try acting this out right now? Have you been in a church where we worshiped in this way, where 131 times, Bible says, lay out on the ground before God? I've done this in some places. I've done it in Africa, and usually I get up pretty filthy from that. But have we done it? Maybe we don't need to do it this morning, but would you, this week, worship God by falling on your face, by surrendering everything, by humbling yourself completely? You can pick the clean floor if you want to. Or maybe some of us need to do it in our workshop. Or maybe some of us need to do it outside. But let me encourage you to be biblical, to do what the Bible says, to worship. Yes, give thanks. Shout your praise, but worship with your body and your spirit. Consider how the body is involved in worship with this biblical scene, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 reads this way. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. It's Isaiah speaking. He was high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. We sang those words in our call to worship song, holy, 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 possibly implying the Trinity there as we recognize the holiness of the Father and the holiness of the Son and the holiness of the Spirit. But notice what the seraphim did. That word, by the way, is related to the word fire. This is a fiery creature. This is a creature on fire, I think, responding to the fire of God's manifest presence. Just like a log brought close to a blazing fire would soon be combusted itself and break out into flames. So the angels, the seraphim, are on fire. And what are they doing? They're six-winged creatures. With two, they're covering their face. Two, they're covering their feet. With two, they're flying. Is it possible? This is implying a ratio for you and for me to learn. Is it implying that 4 out of 6 ought to be invested in worship? Twice as much ought to be invested in worship. A body posture of humility before God. Covering ourselves. Humbling ourselves. And with two we can do ministry. With two we can honor the Lord and do what he's called us to do. But what I've seen in my own life and I've seen in some of your lives, and maybe you recognize it, we get so busy doing, flying, going here and going there, trying to serve the Lord. And yes, service is oftentimes done as an act of worship. But do we humble ourselves before we start serving? Do we cover ourselves before the Lord? Do we fall on our faces before the Lord? I think the ratio is important there. 4 wings for worship, 2 for serving. Twice as much worship as there is doing. Some of you are wired to be doers, but let me encourage you, as an act of obedience, as being a biblical Christian, worship the Lord God Almighty. Psalm 95 is what we read together as our call to worship. I love the progression in this psalm. Notice it with me. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. What is that? That's a combination of thanks given to God as we extol and recognize and give honor to his goodness to us. But it's also praise as we recognize his greatness. And we see that explained here, that praise and thanksgiving are the entryway into then worship. Verse 3 explains why we're praising. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Thanksgiving and praise. Get us in. So that we can then worship. Let me caution you. If you spend your time thanking God and praising God, it's like getting somewhere and then once you're there, turning around and coming right back and not doing what you're called to do when you get there. What are we called to do as we enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise? We're called to worship. Verse 6, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. May our bodies cooperate in the response of our spirit to the work of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. May there be a body, soul, spirit reaction to God, response to God, obedience to God. So we're not just shouting, we're not just thanking, but we're humbling ourselves, recognizing his majesty and his holiness, to bow our bodies before him. Verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. It almost appears to be like the verse is broken in the wrong spot there, because that seems to go on with the next verse. But maybe the Spirit prompted that division of verse so that we had recognized that a proper response to God is that worship, humbling, bowing down, falling prostrate before him, then we can hear. Then we can have ears that respond appropriately with the right humility of heart. Then we're able to hear what God has to say. It goes on to say this warning in these people who did not worship. Verse 8, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray. They have not known my way. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. What was their problem? They didn't worship. They didn't humble. They didn't submit. They didn't bow down. And if they bowed down physically, it wasn't with their whole heart and spirit. It was an action that was not prompted with the right response of heart. And the result was they did not enter into God's rest. They didn't hear what God had to say. We want to be people who hear. We want to be people who don't just go through motions and put on a front and an act, but people who totally align our body, soul, and spirit with the Lord, who give him our thanks, who shout out our praises, but humble ourselves, falling prostrate before him And in that position, we can hear. We can hear. We can hear. See, it's body, soul, and spirit. Jesus, in his conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, he gives her this great insight, and it's recorded for you and for me to glean from this great insight. He says to the woman at the well, John chapter 4, starting at verse 23, "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth." In the Spirit and in truth. "For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." Now you might say, well, just a little bit ago you said that all the words in the Old and New Testament for worship are all body words, are all posture words. Yes. But all of them are connected to the fact that it's prompted by the spirit response. Jesus clarifies that true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. It's the spirit filled with the very Spirit of God that responds to God and that humbles itself so that the body has to follow. Body, soul, and spirit cooperating with the Spirit of God in true worship, sincere worship, honest worship. No shows, no acts, no putting on a front or having a facade, no looking good on Sunday and being something totally different throughout the week. It's a heart that is truly surrendered to God so that all week long we worship. All week long, we're falling on our face before him. Maybe it would help if tomorrow morning you started on your face. Maybe tomorrow morning, as you're thinking about waking up, getting up, maybe instead we should get down. Maybe instead of rising up and doing our own thing, we start an alertness, a waking, a coming to consciousness, and we say as our first thought, "I want to humble myself before the Lord. He is worthy of all of my adoration this day, all of my thanksgiving, all of my praise. I want to demonstrate that by entering into a position of humility before him." I know that getting down on the ground is sometimes hard, and getting up is sometimes even harder, depending upon the condition of the body right now in this stage of your life. But what if we worship that way? What if we responded to God? I want to give you just a little taste of a very interesting scripture that we're going to look at more detail next week. But I want you to understand that there's a connection, body, soul, and spirit, in how we respond to God. And this context here is Paul instructing the Corinthians about the importance of sexual purity. There's a jump. Went from worship to now sexual purity. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. "Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said that two will become one flesh." He's going on to describe in that paragraph that you should not, as a follower of Christ, take your body and unite it in a sinful way with a person that's not your spouse. The marriage relationship is supposed to be a covenant relationship where the sexual union is actually an act of worship before God. Outside of that covenant relationship, it's a breaking of that and a destruction of that. That's why the enemy so attacks people in that realm of their lives. But then he makes this amazing statement to draw the distinction, verse 17. "But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit." We're going to dive into that next week, but I want to challenge you as we end today. You're called to be united with the Lord in spirit. You're You're invited to use your body and your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, so that they respond to what God is doing in your spirit, so that you're united with God in spirit, and as a whole being, you are worshiping, submitting, surrendering, saying, I'm yours, God. You are the one I choose to surrender to. We worship the Lord God Almighty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are overwhelmed that you, the Holy One, you, the Almighty One, you, the one who's the creator of everything and the one who holds everything together, you invite us to respond to you. And Lord, we're unable in ourselves to even do that. Help us by your Spirit at work inside of our human spirit to create the response inside of us of worship. Enable us, Lord, to exercise our will and tell our bodies to do what it's supposed to do so that worship flows. Thank you for these hundreds of scriptures that talk about the right response. We will be people who give thanks to you for all your kindness and goodness. We will be people who praise you, even shout of your greatness. And we will be people who bow before you, who kneel before you, our Lord and our Maker and our Redeemer. Help us worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.